I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We are celebrating 20 years in business and just entering our seventh year of doing this program, which we're really excited about. This program is going to be heard from people all over the world. It's interesting, the number of people that signed up for OpenLine, I think we beat our record today. Our topic today is preparing your thought for the day. Oh, by the way, we'll also be sending slides out in a couple days after this program, so you'll have an opportunity to see those also and the audio. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. Lighthouse is known for our mission statement, which is bringing effective insight to organizations, and we do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar. We assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, executive onboarding for success, leadership training, operational productivity improvement, and exploring global options for expanding your business. In fact, we just opened an office in Taiwan, so if you have an operation in Asia and would like to get leadership coaching for them or providing ideas for how to interact with a U.S. company or vice versa, please let us know. Our Keeping on Track Open Line series is a response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that organizations and individuals are facing today. We want to make this an interactive program, so since our website is having challenges today, if you have questions along the way, why don't you email me? Let me give that to you. It's Dana, D-A-N-A, at lighthouseconsulting.com. That's Dana at lighthouseconsulting.com, and we'll try to respond to as many of you as possible. You'll also want to take notes during our program today. We're going to open up the line after the conclusion of Paul's program, and we'll have that available so you can ask questions of Paul directly. I want to introduce our special guest and longtime friend, Paul David Walker. Paul is just an amazing person, a wonderful human being, and an out-of-this-world business person. He's worked with numerous Fortune 500 CEOs and their key staff members for over 25 years, along with many mid-cap companies. Some of the organizations that Paul has worked with include Starkist Foods, Vaughn's Grocery Stores, New York Life, Anne Klein, Rockwell International, countless manufacturing, global utilities, service, and consulting organizations. Oh, my gosh, Paul, I got to take a breath.
Yeah, 30 years.
Paul's the founder of Genius Stone Partners and works with both domestic and international companies to improve their bottom line today and planning for the future. Paul's the author of the best-selling book, Unleashing Genius. If you haven't purchased that book or read it, go get it off of Amazon, Unleashing Genius. And he has a new book coming out later this year. It's called Invent Your Future, Seven Imperatives for a 21st Century. Is that correct, Paul? Right title?
No, it's called Invent Your Future, Starting With Your Calling, and it's coming out April 15th this year.
Okay. So we'll send you Paul's email, so if you want to sign up for getting a book early, you can do that. I feel privileged to have Paul with us today and to share ideas that will help each of us preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin after our website gets up and running again. And the topic will be 5 Steps to Hiring Abroad. So, Paul, I want to welcome you to this topic, which is very near and dear to me, as you know, preparing your thought for today. So here's Paul.
Yeah. Hey, well, thank you, Dana. That was a lovely introduction. I'm embarrassed here, but you can't see it, fortunately. But thanks. Preparing for a day, a week, a year, your life, having interviewed, 26 successful CEOs and how they invent their future for the upcoming book, I have some thoughts about that. And it's everyone has their own sort of way to start the day. But there are, 6 key principles that you need to manage, and we could talk about that, whether you're planning your business or you're planning your life or you're planning your day or your morning. And those key principles are one, know yourself. So if you're waking up, Are you in a good mood or a bad mood? Or at a deeper level, know who you are, you know, what you do well, what your genius is, from my first book. Number two, know what it is that is the answer for what you're about to do, whether it's your day, you know, what are you going to do? What do you plan on doing, or your week or your month? Once you know and you have a sense for what you're going to do, and we'll go over each of these with some practical tips, then you've got to paint either for yourself, your team, your company, a compelling picture of that outcome so that you can hold it in your mind, so that you can keep that as a guide throughout the day, week, or month as you begin to move forward, you know, to create what you want. So then as you do that, as you see it and feel it in your mind's eye, you get more and more committed. As you start taking actions that are aligned with and getting feedback from that initial thought, you start increasing your commitment. As people see you focused and committed, their commitment will be drawn in. And of course, you got to keep your eye on the present. You could get up and have all these great plans in the morning, and stuff happens that you didn't anticipate that came out of left field. But if you're centered, if you know yourself, if you know what you're trying to accomplish that day, that week, that month, then it's not going to knock you off course. And the basic key to all of these is mastering inner stillness. You know, the hurricane is the most powerful force on earth. When it hits the shore, it takes, rips buildings down, destroys cities, but in the center is dead still. And when that center breaks up, when that stillness breaks up, the storm's power breaks up. And so, too, does your power break up. You must have this deep stillness. So when things happen, you don't react based on your ego or your past, but you react, you respond based on that thought for the day, based on that thought for the week, or that business strategy going forward for the year. So, first thing in the morning, there's a number of things you can do. Dana and I were talking earlier. Why don't you share what you do first thing in the morning just to get started on this?
Okay. I have a pretty extensive process I go through, so I'm going to share the whole thing. And this has taken a number of years to get to, and it takes practice. So before I allow myself to get out of bed, I open my eyes, and I center my thought. And I search for a word for the day or an idea. For today, for instance, which is perfect, actually, the word for today is flow for me. Now, if I didn't have that center and this open line issue had come up with the hosting and the web issues, I would have kind of completely freaked out. But instead, I went back to the flow, came up with an idea. Paul and I talked about it, decided to move forward. So it helps to really center. So after I have that thought and that centering, then I'll get out of bed. Now, the other things that I do in preparing for the day, and this is a little comical, actually. I used to check emails like most people do, and then I would sit down and I have affirmations for the month, which I change up every 30 days. So those are some goals and objectives. And I also have some long-term goals. Then I read from a book called The Daily Word. And everybody has something different they might read from. It has very short inspirational ideas in it. I listen to Boaz. You can get his CD at boazpower.com. He has a nice a two-minute message that most business people enjoy. It's very inspirational and gets you focused. And then I also read from the book How to Win Friends and Influence People, just one paragraph, and Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, just one paragraph. So, and then I read some other inspirational ideas, and then usually read something about something global. I happen to subscribe to the Daily Briefing, which is put out by the Christian Science Monitor, and it has a one- or two-page summary of what's going on in the world. So then I can take my centered idea for the day and any inspiration that came from the readings and focusing and meditation and apply that to the world so I'm prepared. And the centering helps, so when things come up, which we all face, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, so don't get go off the deep end. And I think without being centered from the, before you get out of bed, because most people get out of bed and they're just kind of boom, 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 got things to do, then it's just you're floundering and going with whatever happens versus having a central cause. But here's the funny thing. I realized that when I was sitting for 20 minutes and preparing and listening to the Boaz message and reading these things, that, wow, I could be doing exercise. So I actually bought a recumbent bike. So I'm sitting there while I'm doing these things now and meditating and reading my affirmations, et cetera, while exercising. So I'm actually burning off about 100 calories a morning, every morning. So how do you like that, Paul?
Wow, that's great, Dana. This really is.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Well, not, you know, the key, the first thing is you want to bring thoughts to mind that are relevant to what you're doing. And so the centering, the clearing your mind, meditating, just kind of washing clear your conscious mind of whatever stuff is going on. Maybe you had a dream, a nightmare, or you get up and you're thinking about or stressing about or thinking too much about the day. The first thing to do, just like a speaker, is clear your conscious mind, whatever techniques you have, and that will allow your natural wisdom, your brain is a great synthesizer, to clear your mind and sort of put an intention forward, which I hear you're doing by various things that you're reading, then there'll be room in your conscious mind for your mind to synthesize all the data, all the experience you have, and bring something forward that would be a great thought for the day, would be a great thing to focus yourself around. Now, one of the things I do is, first thing I do is, you know, clear my mind, get really calm. And then I will look and at, so I'm a writer, so I'm always reading stuff like Dana and writing my own book and stuff. So pretty deeply involved in philosophy and thought and how to live. So the first thing I will do is I'll get up, clear my mind, and then I'll just kind of look at my day. You know, look at my calendar, look at my to-do list. Not get obsessed with it. Just kind of, okay, let's see, what do I got going today? Who am I meeting with? So I meet with, you know, three or four different clients a day. Each have different issues going on. So I'll just visualize each person. And I will let come to mind whatever I think that person needs to talk about. I'll just go through them one at a time. I'll go through what my energy level is going to be for the day, again, depending on who I'm meeting with, what the situation is. And I'll put that intention. And then I'll just sit and let things come from my unconscious mind, from my memory banks into my conscious mind. And invariably, you know, the right things occur. You know, I have, at this month, so I have 20 one-on-one clients, executives that I'm coaching, and three businesses that I'm helping them through strategic process and so on. So if I don't do that, I'm going to get one client confused with the other. So I set that intention. And what I do is I will find my way up to my computer and just paint a picture for myself of the day in the form of a to-do list. So it's not a typical to-do list. It's taking those images that came into my mind and sort of just putting them on my computer screen on a little to-do list that I have that appears on all my devices. And that gets me ready. So I am good to go. I got a picture of what I intend to do. I'm feeling pretty quiet. Another thing I do from meeting to meeting that I think is really important is, let's say I finish, you know, talking to the fire chief of Long Beach. I'm working with the fire department here as one of my clients. And the next client is the head of an environmental firm. Well, again, I do the same thing. Again, I wipe my fire department conscious memory clean, put my intention on the next client, I actually see their face, and that helps me just draw up my experience with that client and what I think they might need. I do the same thing when they walk in. If you go into a meeting, again, just put your thoughts aside, have a moment of silence, a pause, get a feel for what needs to be said. Listen to the questions, listen to the introduction, get a feel for what needs to be said. If you clear your conscious mind, your natural wisdom will bring forward what you need to do or say. That's that compelling picture. It just works over and over again. And then as you feel that, as you know that, and as you start to talk or you start to interact or you start to write an email or whatever, you can feel your commitment to that building and growing. And also, if you, you know, Dana said he has these practices, and it is true. You know, I've written 4 books now, working on 2 more. There is no substitute for practice. You want to master anything, there is no substitute for practice. So this discipline that Dana shared, and you create your own. You don't want to do one like Dana or one like me. But some discipline to clear your mind, get relaxed, put your intention on the day, on what you're going to do, and then let your natural wisdom, your natural gifts, your brain do the work and bring forward into your conscious mind the picture of what you need to do or say or work on that day. Most people don't trust their sort of unconscious mind. And it's certainly an athlete when they're in the zone. They're not thinking about cutting to left or right before they go to make a shot. They know the rules. They played basketball for years. Their brain is full of everything to do. What they need to do is clear the circular thought, the worry, and just be present and allow what's needed to come forward. And whatever helps you do that in the morning before a meeting, you know, to set your intention. Intention is a... Yes?
Oh, a question just came in about interfacing or using breathing techniques into something. I want to mention 2 things before we get your thoughts on this, Paul. Thank you for sending the question in. And if anyone has questions as we're moving forward, please email me at Dana, D-A-N-A, at lighthouseconsulting.com. That's Dana at lighthouseconsulting.com. And we'll get to as many questions as we can, or you can ask when we open the lineup. I went at the Milken Institute. They have speakers come in a couple times a quarter. And one of the speakers last year was a gentleman that was like one step down from the Dalai Lama, I think. He was like this this religion was, or his sect was like 1,700 years old or something like that, or over that, and he was like the 17th person. And he was talking about...
It's funny, on my Facebook page is a picture of the Dalai Lama, coincidentally.
Okay,
so.
And he spent an hour with us, with over 200 people in the room probably, talking about breathing and centering. Mm-hmm. And just like Paul said, he suggested people start off with just 5 seconds. And then after a couple of weeks, you go to 10 seconds, and then you move up to 30, and then 1 minute, and then 3 minutes, and then 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes. And he said just a gradual step-by-step process for centering. But somebody asked a really funny question or interesting question. They said, well, is it dangerous to drive and do breathing techniques? He goes, well, I wouldn't recommend that in the beginning because you might be on the news. But he said, once you get used to it and you've practiced as part of your life, he goes, breathing allows, being centered, allows you to be more aware. So actually you're a safer driver then.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you look at what's important in life, you know, you can probably live for 2 to 3 weeks without food, 2 to 3 days without water, and 2 to 3 minutes, maybe 4, without oxygen, without air. So air is the essential element of life. And so when you're taught to meditate, and when I teach people to meditate, which I do, most of my clients, I teach them to follow their breath, you know, and when they're trying to clear their heads of circular thoughts, well, this is not the ideation part, this is the clearing the mind part. What I have them do is I have them breathe a little deeper than normal, you know, take 3 deep breaths to begin with, very deep. 3 deep breaths calm you automatically. I don't know how many times you've probably seen somebody panicking. Someone says, take a deep breath. Well, it's because it calms you. So I always have take three deep breaths, and then I start a breathing rhythm that's a little deeper than my normal cadence, maybe 10 or 15%. And as thoughts come up, you know, crazy thoughts, worry thoughts, circular thoughts, I put my consciousness back on my breathing. And as you put your consciousness on this beautiful process of breathing, those thoughts just pass. And, you know, I usually spend 20 to 30 minutes now. And at the end, or towards the end of that meditation, if there's any intention or any thing that I need to crystallize for the day, it's just there. And it comes out of my unconscious mind, comes out of my wisdom, and there it is. If I'm stuck writing my book going, oh, I don't know what to say here, right? Same thing. Stop. Do some breathing. Calm. Let go of all that I don't know what to say stuff. Just focus on the essence, the breathing. If that doesn't work, I'm a cyclist. I'll get on the bike path and take an hour out there cycling, and that'll usually blow away any extraneous thoughts. And invariably, I have ideas come to mind when I'm out on the path, not on the road, on a bike path along the ocean here. And so I don't have to look out for cars and stuff. I just can concentrate on breathing and pedaling. So it's so important because you want to have that thought for the day, the week, the month, the year, the meeting, the person you're talking to. You want that to come from your deepest wisdom, your deepest understanding, your deepest consciousness. And when you do the breathing exercises, when you clear extraneous thoughts out of your conscious part of your mind, then and set an intention, whatever way you want to, then the right thoughts will come to mind and they'll come out of your mouth and you'll do the right things just automatically. The brain's a marvelous device. I mean, we interrupt it so much with worries and opinions and beliefs. And, oh, I can't do that. You know, I was just talking to my wife this morning. She's a wonderful poet. And I'm a poet, too. And she's comparing herself to me. And I don't know if I should publish poetry. Come on, she's a better writer than I am, for God's sakes. And just get that thought out of your head. Clear your head. Stop doubting yourself. Just let your wisdom come forward, and that breathing technique or any technique, running, jogging, working out, things that Dana says, inspirational thoughts from people. It's just a way to, one, clear your intention or set your intention, and two, you know, clear those small circular thoughts out of your consciousness to bring forward your wisdom. So,
another question just came in about a Tibetan bell. And let me share an experience I've had with that. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on this, Paul. And again, anybody who wants to send a question in, just write me at Dana, D-A-N-A, at lighthouseconsulting.com. So I went to a business meeting. Paul and I are part of a group called the Conscious Leadership. I'm not sure the full name. Conscious Leadership something. And The founder of the organization, Mark Lefka, starts off with, I think it's called Tibetan Bell. And it's interesting, no matter how many people in the room, whether it's 100, 150 people, when he starts getting the resonation going, it transcends everything going on. Everybody comes at one. It's the most interesting thing how music or sound can do that. I was at visiting my mom, who's in a nursing home, and I noticed they had a concert pianist in over the weekend. And the people in the room that had a lot of physical issues, the music helped to transcend the physicality and put everybody in this other space. And they were so appreciative. And you could see the smiles and the youthfulness. And it just, even the people that were laying in a bed in this room, not feeling so great or having great amount of pain, it transcended that, which was so interesting. Mm-hmm. And, Paul, do you want to share any thoughts on that regarding resonation, sound, ohm, ohming?
Absolutely. It's kind of like this, huh?
That's it.
That's the Tibetan bell. I have several. Some are deeper than others. We are all, you know, if you look at us physically, look at an atom, electrons, protons, neutrons, they're moving in this circular fashion. Everything's really vibrating. Can't see it. It's like the spikes on a bicycle. When the bicycle's going, it looks solid, but it is not solid. The same is true with the atoms that make up our body. And those atoms and the structure that the atoms make up is vibrating. And the use of music or a Tibetan bell or any form of sort of peaceful music or even cacophonous music will affect your mood. Because you're really this being that's made up of, you know, 98% space, and then there's this these electrical atoms and cells that make up your body, and vibration of any kind affects you. And if you want to really clear your mind, you know, some form of peaceful music is important. If you want to energize yourself, some more upbeat music will sort of, you know, get you dancing, you know. If you want to get really angry, play some rap music. You know, I don't recommend getting angry, but you know what I'm saying. It's a real important part. I always play in my little cottage here where my clients come for individual coaching. You can barely hear it, but I have meditation music playing in the background. And then if I take them into a meditation, I just turn it up a little bit. And, you know, even though they kind of hear that music, it calms them. And, you know, there's a garden and a fountain they walk through to come into the little cabin there. And, you know, by the time they sit down in a nice comfortable chair and start talking to me, they're already calm, you know. They're relaxed. And then they're able to really explore what it is, just like the thought of the day. They're able to say, what do I need to do now? What's the right thing for me to do next? What's important for me as a leader? What's important? Once you clear all that clutter out of the way, through like the breathing or the music, you know, it's amazing the kind of insight that you will have. I mean, literally, it's astonishing. And it's simple. It's just a practice. It's not magic. It's just, if you want to master everything, there is no substitute for practice.
And what's interesting is that Paul trains CEOs and senior level individuals and companies, and the Conscious Leadership Organization has CEOs and executives mm-hmm. from all over the world that practice getting centered. And Paul, could you address, this came up as an entire topic once in Conscious Leadership, about Om. What that does and how that can center an individual?
Well, it's just one of those sounds that has been used for literally thousands of years that they discovered is like the Tibetan bell, just has a resonance to it that is peaceful, that helps people calm. Again, you know, like the breathing, if you're focused on a chant like Om, 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 you know, it's very calming. It gets you focused. It clears the clutter out of your head. And like the bell, like meditation music, it has a vibratory effect on your being and on your presence. And whatever works for you to calm yourself, to clear your conscious mind. Now, your whole mind's not going to be wiped out. I mean, your memory bank's there, your knowledge is there, your wisdom is there. fall there. We're not talking about that. We're talking about that stuff that jumps into your conscious mind, worry, circular thought, I don't know what I want, pissed off, I'm angry, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, you know, all that stuff. You clear that out. Om, a Tibetan bell, meditation music, breathing, aerobic exercise, whatever gets you focused on a single thing that clears your conscious mind and affects your very peace, your inner peace, inner stillness. Every executive I have, when I say, you know, how important is inner stillness to you? If they've been CEO for any period of time, they go, well, that's critical. I've had many of them come in and say, hey, you've got a Tibetan bell over there. Cool. I mean, CEOs of big companies, it's a stressful job. You've got to find ways to calm yourself, to bring, you know, our theme today is the thought of the day. What are you thinking of? You've got to clear the rubbish out so the more profound, the more appropriate, the more directive thoughts, the ones that are right for you, will come into your consciousness that you can act on with those five steps that I described. But the clutter of the world is so great. You know, I always say you have to get beyond the noise to find your inner stillness, to find your inner calm.
Paul, two questions just came in. One is, they're saying they're completely ADD, I guess, and it's tough for them to focus. So how do they go about doing that when the mind just wanders? So that's question number one. Another person sent a question in about, you had mentioned, it said Paul mentioned the world. How do we know if it's the world's thoughts trying to impose themselves on us, or if it's just us messing with our minds? Great questions.
Okay, so we'll go with the second one first. Only you can control your thoughts. There's all kinds of crazy things going in the world, and that all has a vibration, doesn't it? That all has an effect on you. You watch the news, you watch negative news. It's going to affect you. You have to be careful what you intake. The Buddha, you know, now we're talking about the gurus, the Buddha said, for a man not to meditate daily is like the oxen going in the river without skin. Worms and parasites will creep into his muscles and he will become weak and die. So you've got to clear the clatter and clamor and anger of the world out of your consciousness so you can feel your soul's heartbeat, you know? So yeah, the world, you know, it's not a peaceful place, but most of it is. It's where we put our attention. If I go out in my garden, it's pretty peaceful. But if I sit in front of the TV and watch the local news, I feel like I'm in danger every minute. You know, the crime rate since the 60s has gone down like 67%, but the amount of reporting of violent crime has gone up 400%. We're scaring ourselves to death. The world is much more peaceful, putting aside ISIS, than it was even 100 years ago, even 50 years ago. There's a book called The Better Angels of Our Nature. It's about 900 pages. It's full of statistics on violent crime around the world, and it's way down. So that's number one. Pay attention to where you place your consciousness. Very important, because it will affect you. Now, I would say that a large percentage of people are ADD. It really has to do with our society and, you know, the soundbite world. It has to do with advertising, trying to seduce you into wanting things you don't really need. Do not believe it's a condition you can't change. How you change it is what Dana said, what I said is you've got... Now, people say to me, well, Paul, I can't meditate. All these thoughts come into my head. Well, of course, all the thoughts come into my head. What you have to do is practice focusing on your breathing, listening to peaceful music, and just letting go of those thoughts. nothing better for an ADT person than to sit still. And at first, your thoughts are just going to be clamming and clamoring, but what you're doing is you're practicing letting go of. You're breathing, you're feeling that essential breath, and then the thoughts might still be there, you know, but instead of trying to suppress them, instead of being angry, just be amused. Just notice your thoughts and let them go. Now, it takes practice, but you can do it. None of these conditions are hardwired. Certainly, you learn them. Certainly, you're affected by the whole world. At least the Western world is very ADD. You know, if you watch the news, you know, it's a little soundbite thinking, you know, a little violence, a little, you know. So you got to protect yourself. You have to learn to let go of those thoughts. Now, if you have a serious ADD problem, it'll just take longer. But you can do it. And now, you know, I studied with a Zen Buddhist priest, and so first he taught us to meditate and quiet our minds sitting in the temple there. And then once we kind of mastered that, he had us stand up and follow him, and we walked through the forest. He wanted us to do what he called a walking meditation. So he wanted us to bring that calm state of mind into movement as we walked. I never got this far, but then, you know, there are martial arts, there are Tai Chi. So all these things which have movement where you can maintain this, your clear state of mind. When we would eat, nobody would talk. We would just eat and enjoy the food and put our consciousness on the taste, enjoying food, no talking. So the whole idea of practicing sitting still or even doing aerobics or something like that that quiets your mind, mastering it, is no substitute for practice. So once you get master it in a small way, then you can take it in the car, when you go on the freeway, you can take it to work. You can take it with you if you learn to quiet your mind and bring your insight, your wisdom forward. And I'm telling you, there's a phrase in our church is, may the peace that passes all understanding be with you now and always. And it's always there. You just have to clear the clutter, the conscious stuff in your conscious mind, the stuff you've absorbed from the world and from your early childhood. Clear it out. It takes work. It takes practice. But, you know, when you do, your life is going to be like that bell. The circular sound. Everything is circular in the universe. Atoms, the solar system, the sun, the earth is a spherical, circular movement. And those kinds of sounds draw you into this state. So, I hate to say it, but the only answer is there's no substitute for practice. But the reward is beyond description. And your performance just goes up and up and up, just like an athlete in the zone who is dead still in his mind, but moving like grease lightning for the poor devil and has to cover him.
I had an interesting experience this last weekend. After working out, went into the steam room, and nobody was in there, no one was in the locker room. And so I thought, I'm going to meditate. And I practiced what we had learned before from the conscious leadership senior executive team of using incorporating Om into the meditation. So I started the Oming and did it. It was fairly loud, and then brought it down into a more gentle calming. And then I stopped. What was interesting was, the Oming at the lower resonation continued for probably a good 7 to 10 minutes while I was meditating. It didn't stop. So I mentioned this to one of the ladies that does massage, who her name is Deja, of all things. And she said, well, that's not surprising because Olam, or the centering, is the norm.
Yeah. It's a natural state you're trying to get back to. Absolutely.
And she said, when we're not, when we think that we're not in the centeredness, that's the abnormalness.
That's
so it's
right.
Natural for it to continue.
Yep.
Now that, wow, that's is that insightful.
That's one of the things that's a theme in my book, Unleashing Genius. Genius is when you consciously are collaborating with this flow, you know, the flow of heaven, the flow of your life. I call it the heartbeat of life. You know, can you dance to the heartbeat of life? That's the natural state. It is unnatural, all this stuff that we allow in our consciousness. It's not natural, and it's not effective. And so...
Well, this
you know.
Has been... I'm sorry, Paul.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
This has been wonderful. We're going to open up the line in just a second, but Paul, do you have any closing thoughts? Because this is a pretty amazing topic.
No, I've...
You covered
questions
it.
Questions would help, you know. It's hard to say how this is landing, so if someone has questions, that'd be great.
Okay. Before we do that, a couple things. We're going to open the line in just a minute or so, so you can talk directly with Paul. But if you'd like to call Paul directly, let me give you his phone number and also his email address. His phone number is area code 562-233-7861. That's 562-233-7861. And Paul's email address is pauldavidwalker@geniusstone.com. That's pauldavidwalker@geniusstone.com. And we're going to send out the slides in the next couple of days. Now, the slides are different than our discussion. So but you'll have Paul's contact information on that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, our next program will be on April 21st, and it's entitled Five Steps to Hiring Abroad. So you'll look forward to having you join us. So let me go ahead. And
just a note, Dana, this kind of coaching I can do on the phone. So wherever you are in the world, it really doesn't matter.
Good point.
If you want
good
to do
point.
This kind of work. Yep. Go
ahead. I'm sorry, Paul.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to turn the recording feature off because a lot of people don't like when they were doing Q&A, their voices being recorded. So those of you that we're signing off now from the formal program, thank you for joining Keeping on Track. We apologize for the technical issue, but this was probably one of the best programs we've ever had. And I want to thank Paul for providing such wonderful ideas. So let me turn the recording off. We'll be right back.